church. Was it last Sunday? God wanted me to expound it even further here at home. And so we're going to get into this. And I want you to stay with me, because a lot of you are right on the threshold of breakout. You're right at that moment. It doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter the situation. Doesn't matter how impossible it looks. Doesn't matter how many setbacks. Doesn't matter how many quote-unquote failures that you've experienced. None of that matters. What matters is what you believe and what God has said. See? And so we're going to look into the Word of God, and you're going to see how when the enemy tries to throw you and I off course, how God steers us all the way through all that. And the devil is not God's unwilling servant, like some doctrines teach. Well, you know, the devil, God just uses the devil. No, he don't use the devil. He uses the Word and the Spirit of God and the fivefold ministry. That's who God uses. See? Now, certainly if the devil slapped you upside your head, you can learn something from it, but that's called a school of hard knocks. If you read the Bible, you'd found out you didn't have to have your head slapped right there. Praise the Lord. So go with me to Isaiah 43 this morning and get happy while you're doing it. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I think myself happy. Hallelujah. I think myself happy. I say it all the time. I'm happy. I say it all the time. And you have what you say in the midst of whatever. I'm happy. Hallelujah. 4D happy. Isaiah 43, let me know when you're there by saying I'm happy. Let's try it again. Let me know when you're there by saying I'm happy. Yeah. Verse number one. But now, look at your neighbor and say, it means right this moment. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. How many times God got to tell us not to fear? For I will redeem thee. Huh? Oh, I have redeemed thee. I will call you. Oh, I have called you by your name. You will be mine. Oh, you are mine. Does the Bible say, let the redeemer of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy? So if you got a good redeeming, shout and you let it out right now. Come on. If you have to shout by faith. Hallelujah. Now watch. So we see in verse 1, but now, right now, God has already created in us in the past when you accepted Jesus as your Savior. He already formed you in the past, right? Fear not in the now, for I've redeemed thee in the past. I've called thee in the past, and you are mine from the time I created, formed, redeemed, and called you. Right? Right? So, when you get to verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? Because God created you. He formed you. He redeemed you. He called you, and we are His. So He gives us a promise because we belong to Him. That when, He didn't say if. In other words, in this world you shall have tribulation. Remember the circle of faith? But be of good cheer, right? That this tribulating world has been overcome, right? And this is the victory that overcomes the world. What? Even our faith. Are you following this? So when you and I pass through the waters, He said, I'm going to be with you. Remember what I preached Friday? Right? Lord is on our side. Remember that? The Word is on our side. When you pass through the waters, God says, you ain't going there by yourself. I'm going to be smack dab right there with you. All the way through the rivers, they'll not drown you. They'll not take you downstream. They'll not take you in a direction that you were. How many of you know we're going against the current? The current events out there. The things that are currently trying to hold you back in a certain way from your destiny. God says when you pass through the waters, He's going to be with us. And through the rivers, they'll not overflow us. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So you got to have fire and water faith. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Some of you come in here right now in the midst of the fire. Some of you in here come in here and the water's trying to pull you down under. Come on now. And so let's look at some things because God gives us a promise. He says, if you drowned, that means I drown. If you get burned up, that means I get burned up. And that ain't going to happen. Are you following this? If God is on our side, remember that. Okay. So, let's go to Psalms 66. This is shouting ground, so you might as well shout early. Psalm 66. Say, I'm happy when you're there. Let's put our eyes on verse 8. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard. Listen, God don't respond to how loud you praise. But the Bible makes it clear there's times to shout. But you can shout loud. And if you're coming out of your head, see, it's got to be out of the heart, right? And when the heart is praising the Lord, right, God responds. Now look at this next verse. Which holds our soul in life. How many times your soul was being pounded? Your mind, will, and emotions. Your feel, or think, or chooser. Right? It's like the devil just had a hold of your head and was just like doing this. But God, while all that was going on, while all that shaking was going on, while all that doubt that the enemy was trying to throw at you, the fiery darts, the lies, the memories of the past, all this stuff was in. God's right in the middle of that. Because if you drown, He drowns. If you get burned up, He gets burned up. It ain't happening. That's why the enemy has to get you to separate from God. But who can separate us from the love of God? Is anybody listening to me this morning? He holds our soul in the life cycle. The enemy tries to bring us over into the death. That ain't never going to happen. What makes you think that would ever come to pass? No, I choose life. I choose blessing. You choose life this morning? Right? He holds our soul. Think about those times when the enemy just really came at your soul and it was on the verge of depression. Come on now, faith crowd. And I mean you were joying by faith, you were praising by faith. Everything was a sacrifice of joy, a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a sacrifice of righteousness. For days. Don't look at me like that. Right? But God's right in the middle of that. The anchor holds. Inside there, hope. Hope. The anchor of the soul. See, hope deferred makes the spirit man sick. See? And it says God holds our soul. That's why you keep going back to the book. That's why you keep reading that. That's why you keep showing up to church, because in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. See, you can be right in the midst of a family situation, a financial situation, a physical situation, and your soul is being shaken, right? But the Lord's got a hold. How many of you know he bought all of you? Spirit, soul, and body. Oh, yeah. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? See, he bought all of you. Even that stinking thinking. Come on now. Now watch this. He holds our soul in life. Why? And allows not our feet to be moved. Oh, my goodness. The devil wants to move you off your faith. He wants to move you off your seed. He wants to move you off what you vowed for. He wants to move you off what God told you, what he made real to you, and he attacks your soul, and God's got a hold of your soul, keeping life. No, we're not, that's not dying. That promise is going to stay alive, because as a man thinketh in his heart, the thinker gets down in your heart, so is he. Anybody listening? He holds our soul in life and suffers not our feet to be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Anybody happy still? All right. Let's go a little further. It says here, for thou, verse 10, O God, has proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Now, God don't put you in a flood. He don't put you in the fire. Matter of fact, he wants you to know how strong you are in him. When it says God has proved us, he already knows. He already knows if you're going to buckle. He already knows if you're going to throw in the towel. He already knows if you're going to keep on standing. He already knows if you buckle and throw in the towel that you repented and stood back up. Don't you rejoice in me when I fall. I shall arise. Come on now. God has proved us. He wants you and I to know that no weapon formed against us could ever prosper. Every tongue of judgment that rises up against us, we will condemn it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Why? Because our righteousness is of Him. Somebody shout and help me out. God has proved us. Follow this now. God has proved us. In that proving, see, when you hear the testimonies, if somebody just got up and said, I got a house, and then sat back down. Well, praise the Lord, they got a house. I got a vehicle. Well, praise the Lord. I got healed. Well, praise the Lord. No, we want to hear about the battle. We want to hear how you had to stand. I mean, just if you hear somebody say, "Well, I got a house. I got healed." Well, praise the Lord. But I want to hear how you stood. I want to hear how God's faithfulness came in at the midnight hour. I want to know what your soul was going through. How? Come on. Right? That's why the Bible writes everything out. I mean, if David just went up there and he sees Goliath, and the next verse says, and he cut his head off. No, I want to know everything. Why? It's the testimony of Jesus that is the spirit of prophecy. So when you are being tried, the devil is risking that your victory is not just going to benefit you. It's going to benefit the body of Christ. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know how many times I've shared about being a drug addict for 14 years, locked up 20 times, looking at? That shows you how many times. Right? Right? That's powerful. Went through 5 drug programs. Nothing happened. Military. I mean, the judicial system sends me into the military or go to the penitentiary. Now I'm in the military and they kick me out. Hallelujah. How many of you know you listening to me this morning? And God is ministering to your life through this. Right? So that's the faithfulness of God. So through the proving, through the trying, remember what I said Friday night about until the time that His word came? That word tried him. Talking about Joseph being rejected by his family, thrown in a pit, accused of rape, thrown in prison. Come on now. All he did was share a dream. Right? And 13 years of hell. But it turned out that God hath made me forget all my toil and my father's house. Remember that? Okay. For thou, O God, hath proved. Now, in this proving, this is where are we going to stay with the program. This is how God qualifies. Well, people don't like that word. This is how people qualify. Yes, God qualifies. It's biblical. Faithful over a few things, that qualifies you for more things. Hello. The goofy grace folk don't want to hear that. They just want to say, everybody qualified. No, you ain't qualified. With your disobedient self, you ain't qualified. There's a proving that must happen. See? And so it's when you and I walk through these opposition situations. Now remember, it's the devil that opposes. It's God that challenges. A lot of times you hear preachers say, well, you know, you got challenges in life. I understand what they're saying. But what it is opposition. The devil opposes, God challenges. And God almost always challenges you right in the middle when the devil is opposing you. See? And do you believe? Do you believe? So don't get bummed out when God challenges you, because there's a qualification of obedience, faithfulness that he's looking at. Because a faithful person will abound in blessings. See? Are you following this? Okay. So let's go a little further, shall we? All right. It says here in verse 11, you brought us into the net. Now that net is God connecting you to your family, to your like precious faith people. A network. You brought us into that. That's why this Jesus thing, I just have church at home. Thank God that we have people that couldn't make it, or they're gone somewheres or whatever, that they can view this and so on and so forth. But when you replace the gathering of the saints with internet, you're getting in the wrong net, right? The Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, so much the more as we see that day approaching. So what God does, he fitly joins you where you're supposed to be. And it's, you know, he says, I will give you pastors according to my heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding, right? And that's the whole problem in the body of Christ. You got people that just made up their mind, well, I like the way they have praise over here. I like the youth group over there. And they didn't ask God where they're supposed to be, right? And so they're just out there, you know, in a seeker-friendly church, and they're not really being taught the second part of this verse. You have laid pressure, affliction on our loins. Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. Loins always represents that reproductive area in the natural. Here's your reproductive area in the spirit. A woman conceives, a wife conceives from her husband, that seed, and she conceives that child, right, in the conception area, and then that child has that egg that's been impregnated must travel from the conception area into the womb. Well, this is our conception area. This is where we get the word concepts. And when you hear the word of God, you conceive it in your mind, but it can't stay there. It has to travel down into your womb, if you will, your heart, your spirit, and then give birth to what you have conceived. Are you following this? And you laid pressure upon our loins. You brought us into this network, and then you brought all this pressure. I've heard people tell me, you have made my marriage bad because of what you taught right there. And you know what I was teaching? Husbands and wives pray together. What happened? Pressure was put on the soul, and they rebelled against it. Are you following this? See, so God brings you into where you're supposed to be, right? And then he puts pressure. He starts washing your soul from the mess of the past, the logic of today, the naturalism. And, you know, when you got born again, you were washed in the blood, your spirit. But now we got to get your soul washed by the water of the word. Right? Right? Y'all know what power washing is? When you got some mold on the side of the house, right? And you fire up that, you took the hose and do nothing. See, that's why you can sit in here and the hose ain't doing nothing, and pastor got to crank it up. We're going to power wash today. Pressure on your loins. You got to get that mold out of there. Because underneath it, you're clean through the word. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. So, verse number 12 says this. You have caused men to ride over our heads. Oh, my, my, my. Well, you put us in a network. You hooked us up with who we're supposed to be hooked up with. Then you started power washing our souls. And then you teach us about divine order. You cause men to ride over. I don't submit to nobody. I'm my own man. Ain't nobody tell me what to do. Now, I get it that anytime there is any type of leadership, it can get wacky. You see it in the business world. You see it. Well, look at the schools, the colleges, the universities. That's all coming from those professors that are just feeding those kids, indoctrinating them, right? And, of course, you always got a pastor that wants his own kingdom, right? But God still has clean voices in the land. And, see, there's a lot of church hurt where people put up a wall, I ain't never going there again. See? But it says, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, because they're going to have to answer for you. Isn't that something, that they got to answer for you and you got to answer for you? See, you don't have to answer for them. They have to answer for you. So it says, you have caused men to ride over our heads. Now look out. We went through the fire and through water. Now, folks, if you're not being prepared, if you're not in that network, if you're not being power washed, if you're not letting God have his way in your Christian life, you're going to go through some fire. You're going to go through some floods. Okay, did Jesus say there was a house built on a rock and a house built on sand? Did it say that the house built on a rock was exempt from the flood? No. The flood came, but that house did not fall. Are you following this? Right? So when we line up to what God has instructed us, it changes your life. When it became real to me that I was not my own, that I'm bought with a price, that is real to me. Well, I don't see how you can just sell out your life and not have no fun. Not have no fun. I'm having a blast. I mean, I'm having a Holy Ghost blast. See? Why? Purpose. Purpose. Right smack dab in your destiny. I'm not looking for destiny. I'm in it. I wake up with purpose. I go to bed with purpose. But it wasn't always like that. See, that's what's so important about IBTC. Get immersed in the Word of God. And find out to some degree what God wants to do with your life. Not what you think or what you want. The last thing I wanted to be was a pastor. I'm an evangelist. Glory be to God. And sure enough, don't bring the prophetic or the apostolic into my life. I just want to be evangelist. Well, I can just go and just stir up people, make them mad, make them glad, and go on to the next place. Let the pastor deal with it, right? That didn't happen. See? But now watch this. Look at God's intention. You caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but you brought us out where? That's his goal. That's his goal, is to bring you and I into our wealthy place. Wealth is way more than money. It is having everything, all the resources, everything that you would need to be able to operate on a personal level, and whoever you would run into that God wants to use you to help touch people and advance the kingdom. Come on now. That is where God wants to take us. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Look at your neighbor and see if they're still happy. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, you're really convincing me. Look at this in the New King James Version. You've caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. Folks, I tell you what. It's satisfying to be obedient to God. It is. It's satisfying. It's fulfilling. See? Look at it in the CJB. You made men ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us out to a place of plenty. Well, your enthusiasm this morning is just, I don't know if I can preach any further. We might just have to just shout and run the aisles because your enthusiasm is just overwhelming me. I don't know if I can get any more utterance. Well, let's see if this does you any good. The TLV. You caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. Yet you brought us out to super abundance. Hallelujah. Yeah. See, y'all perk up on super abundance. Okay. Now, with all that in mind, we get to today's message. Mark chapter 9. Hallelujah. Let me know when you're there by saying I'm happy. Let's put our eyes on verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, talking about Jesus, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What's going on here? What's the question? What are you wanting to know? What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son." Notice he says son, he does not say child. "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." Now understand now that the Father has brought, now watch this, I want you to see this. He brought his seed. How many of you know the Word of God is progressive? It's of no private interpretation, right? So when we see him bringing his son, when this happened, it was his literal, physical son. But what I want you to see here this morning, it was his seed. Anybody got any seed in the ground? That your seed's acting like a lunatic? Come on now. Right? Now watch this. This father does not come to Jesus and say, "I don't know what's wrong with him." He knows it's a devil. Now that's big, because there's a whole lot of Christians that don't know that that cancer is of the devil. They don't know that that blood disease is of the devil. They don't know that that lack is of the devil. They don't know that. And they're still pleading with God, "God, please, please." Trying to beg God to change something that he didn't do. Right? But watch this. This father knew his seed was being messed with by the devil. How many of you got seed in the ground? How many of you got a lot of seed in the ground? How many of you got a lot of seed in the ground that you haven't seen the harvest on? I know me and Mama Alberta do. Now watch this. Watch this now with that understanding. Verse 18. "And wheresoever he taketh him," who's the he there? The devil. It's the devil. See, when you understand that your situation is demonic, you've already a good ways towards your victory. Come on now. Instead of, "Well, it was the boss or that family member or yourself." No, 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 no. Devil. Right? "And wherever the devil takes my seed," the devil's tearing my seed. He's trying to stop my seed from manifesting. And so he tries to manifest it in a different way. You ever sowed a big seed and then all of a sudden something happened with the car? You needed tires? Or don't look at me like that. Ain't a bad confession. We're just being real. Have you ever sowed a seed? Happy about it. And then, boom, you were opposed. "God, why'd you let this happen?" God ain't letting it happen. It's the devil. Now, this father, when he planted that seed in his wife, expected the harvest that he's supposed to have. And so, here comes harvest time. But there's something wrong with the harvest. I said there's something wrong with the harvest. You following this? See, the devil will try to get you to settle for a harvest that ain't your harvest just because it manifested. Well, this must be God. Does it look like God? See? Wheresoever he takes him, the devil takes my seed, he tearing at my seed. And he foameth and gnashes with his teeth and pineth away. That word pineth, withers away. And I spake to your disciples that they should what? Cast the devil out. So he knows. He knows it's the devil. And they could not. Now watch this. He does not turn around and go home. Boy, you better hang with this. One word from heaven. Change your life from heaven. So he says here, in verse 19, Jesus says, and he answered the father and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring that seed to me. Put it in my authority. How many fish do we have? Five loaves, two fishes. Bring them to me. Bring them to me. Get that seed in my hands. And then I'll place it back in your hands. And when it comes back in your hands, you and I are going to multiply this. I need your action to start passing it out. I'll do the blessing. You do the acting. And when I do the blessing and you do the acting, you're going to see a miracle. God's going to bless your seed this morning that you have sown in the past. Thank you. You don't believe it. You trying to muster something up. You don't believe it. Maybe by the time I'm done, you will. And they brought, verse 20, brought the seed unto Jesus. And when he saw the seed, the devil tries one more time. You ever notice? Right before manifestation time, the devil tries his ugliest opposing move. The Spirit tore him, tore the seed. The seed fell on the ground and swallowing foaming. Hoping that the father just gives up because the devil knows once that devil comes in contact with Jesus, it's a done deal. So right before that seed that the devil's been messing with for quite some time, right before it manifests, The enemy tries to hit his hardest. He knows Jesus ain't going to back off. Jesus just said, oh, faithless generation. No. He ain't backing off of nothing. Let me help you out. See if this will stir you up. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Somebody better get happy. So he just tries to hit you with some mess. There you were, getting ready to do this, getting ready to do that, and all of a sudden just looked like you hit a wall. Just like everything shut down. Well, here we go. Whose report are you going to believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. Why? Because when I pass through the fire, God is with me. When I pass through the water, God is with me. Why? I've been bought with a price. Hallelujah. Don't end like this. You kidding me? It don't end like this. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, here come the devil. The spirit, it says, tore the seed. Now, see, there's actually nothing wrong with the seed. It's the spirit in the seed that's causing the problem. There was nothing wrong with the seed you sowed. It's the devil got tried to get in that seed or had got in that seed, but this morning. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. We ain't even got there yet. Look at the next verse. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this devil came unto him? And now watch what he says. And he said, of a child. Now, if that seed was in fact a child at the time, Jesus wouldn't say, how long ago has this happened? He would just be a child. But we already read where he brought his son. So there is some significant age. Watch this. There's some significant age for the father to say of a child. And if he's just 4 or 5 years old, okay, of a child. Yeah, but was it last month or was it? But when he says of a child, now we know that this son is at least, I'm guessing, a teenager or something. Are you following what I'm saying? Right? Right? So this father has been dealing with this. Jesus doesn't want to know how long the devil been there. Jesus wants to know how long the father been believing. Did you catch that? Yes. Jesus could have told him how long. He wanted to locate the father. That father been believing since that kid was a child. And he knew that this is not what God had for his seed.
that this was not the harvest. And he knew it was the devil. And he brought him to the disciples that they should cast him out. And there's this commotion when Jesus comes down with the scribes. Why? Because this father's raising all kinds of hell. And the scribes are just trying to, you know, give him that religious answer. No, no, no. This is the devil. No, now God wants your son to have. No, this is the devil. Well, if it was a devil, how come the disciples can't care? This is a devil. He's been believing ever since the seed was in his possession of a child. So, seed from last year, from the year before, 5 years ago. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. So he didn't want to know. Jesus didn't want to know when the devil came into his child. He wanted to know how long the father had been believing. Hallelujah! Yeah, that's good. Verse 22. And oftentimes, it cast him into the what? And into the what? To do what? When you pass through the waters, through the fire, I'll be with you. Come on. Oftentimes, that devil has cast my seed into the fire. Oftentimes, that devil has cast my seed into the waters to destroy my harvest. Is anybody following this? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now remember, the Lord holds my soul in life, that my feet be not moved. You laid pressure on my soul. Come on now. But you're bringing me into my wealthy place. Now watch this. Oftentimes. Now imagine this. The father. He knows it's a devil. And there they are having a cookout. Hot dogs and marshmallows. Got the family over, the neighbors. And all of a sudden, son jumps in the fire. And the father goes right after him. Come on now. Come on now. Having a swimming party at the pool. Father has to dive down and bring him up, pump him again. Oftentimes. And the whole time, he refuses to accept that is his harvest. The whole time. I don't care what kind of fiery trial has tried to hit you, what's tried to flood your life. Come on now. To throw you off. God looks for one thing. When he comes back, shall he find faith? And he's looking for it. He's trying to locate it in this father. So how long ago since this, come on him, of a child? And then he tells him how his belief system See, if he hadn't kept believing, he would have just accepted that, strapped him down in some bed somewhere, and that's just the way it is. No, no, no. No. Now look at the next verse. Oh, no, no. But if you can do anything, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Next verse. Jesus said unto him, it ain't whether I can do anything. It's whether you can believe. It's whether you can believe. Follow this now. Oh, my goodness. All things are possible to him that believeth. I know your believer went through the fire several times. I know your believer went through the flood several times. But this is your time now. Do you believe? Do you still believe? Because your harvest, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, this next verse, good God Almighty. Is anybody hearing me? This next verse. And straightway, the father of the child cried out. Now, you got to understand that the harvest is down there just walling around foaming. And Jesus is up there talking. Jesus just looking for faith. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Make up the difference. Help thou mine unbelief. Now watch this. Watch this. Don't miss this. That word, Lord, I believe. That is pistio. It's the verb form of pistis. What he's actually saying, I'm still believing. I'm still believing. I'm still believing, God. Anybody still believing? You still believing for that house? You still believing? Come on now. You still believing for that vehicle? You still believing for your family to be saved? You still believing for ministry to open up? You still believing for that spouse? You still believing for that healing? You still believing for what God has made real for you? You still believing for that business to take off? Well, God, I'm still believing. I've been through the fire. I've been through the water. And you have tried me. And I knew that you were with me. And I would not burn. I would not drown. And I'm standing here before you today saying that is not my harvest. I ain't accepting it. Woo! Mm-mm-mm. Hallelujah. The CEV says it this way. The boy's father shouted, I do have faith. Please help me to have even more. Look at the easy translation. Immediately the boy's father shouted, oh, I believe. Help me to believe more. Do I have any believers in the house that you've been through the fire, you've been through the water, not just a week, not just a month, but an extended period of time, And that devil trying to convince you that this is your harvest. No, that ain't my harvest. No, 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 no. My harvest doesn't have conditions with it. My harvest, come on, somebody. My harvest is a good harvest. It's a 100-fold harvest. It's a superabundance. I've been through the fire. I've been through the water. But you brought me out into my wealthy place. Somebody shout. When Jesus saw that the unbelievers came running together, look what Jesus did. He did not say, okay, you got faith? According to your faith, be it unto you. He didn't do that. I'll tell you what. When the Lord knows that you have never quit, that you have never given up, and that you are kingdom-minded and you want destiny fulfilled in your life, and whatever he says unto you, you do, he will make up the distance. Oh, yes, he will. He will make up the distance. Follow me in this. Because I believe there's believers in here that you believe in with all the believing you got. Right? And you refuse to quit. Not just some religious, I will not quit. But you want God to show up. Come on. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Right? So, when the Father says, I'm still believing. Since a child, since this thing come on him, I've never accepted that harvest. Never. Some of you all got children. You can very well put that in there. But I'm talking about any kind of seed that has been sown that the enemy is trying to hinder from coming into manifestation in your life. Are you still believing? Are you still believing? I mean, even when you got mad, threw a fit, said things you shouldn't have said, bunch of doubt and unbelief, but you put it under the blood. You went to God. Got that right. Got your believing going. Come on now. Hallelujah. Power washed it. Jesus, this Father said, look, I've gone as far as I can go. You remember the fish story? Remember the fish story? The first fish I caught out in Marshall Islands? Them boys came to me. They were ocean fishermen. They grew up on the coast here in America, and I grew up on creeks and rivers and lakes and ponds. And I was seeing the fish they were bringing out, and they would talk about it at work. And
they said, "You want to go fishing?" I said, "Yeah, I'd like to go ocean fishing." And they said, "Okay, meet us down at the dock tomorrow." So I went to the fishing store and bought me the biggest fishing pole I ever had in my life, way past that Zebco. And I got these lures like I ain't never seen a lure that big, but we gonna catch a big fish. And I showed up down at the dock, and they saw me coming. They said, "What's that?" I said, "We gonna go catch some big fish, right?" And he said, "Not with that." And then they showed me what they had. I had a little 4-aught. They had 12, 14-aught. I'm talking about these are winches, right? And I thought, "Oh my," he says, "set that thing down there. We ain't using that." He brought out these lures about this long, and we went out there, three of us, the captain, the first mate, and the newbie. And we're out there fishing and not catching nothing. And you could only keep the boat out for 5 hours before you had to turn it back into the dock. I'm talking about out at Kwajalein. And so it was 4:30, something like that. And the captain said, "We got to go back in, Philip. We'll do it another day. We ain't getting nothing today." So he turned the boat to go back in. All of a sudden, that line just started taking off. And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "There's your fish." I said, "Oh, boy." He said, "Now reel it in." So I wasn't sitting in one of those chairs with a harness and all this stuff, you know. I'm sitting on the side of the boat, right? And I got to sit right here, the pole's right here, and now I'm over the water right here, turning that thing with both hands, and I go to turn it, and it's stuck. And I said, "Something wrong with this reel." And the captain said, "Ain't nothing wrong with that reel." He said, "You got you a horse." I don't want no horse. I did not want a horse. See, your harvest is bigger than what you know. Your harvest is in that unseen realm where you cannot see, but your faith has connected. Your faith has connected. And how to get it out, you could be at this standstill, what seems like, and you're not able to move it. And the other guy says to me, he said, "You want me to reel it in?" I said, "No, I don't want you to reel it in, because I know what happened." We get in there, and then he gonna tell all the guys. See, Philip couldn't bring it in. Ain't happening. So I get over there, and I'm talking, it's hot. And I get, and all of a sudden, more line going out. I said, "Oh, brother." So this goes on. I'm sweating. I'm getting dizzy. I'm at the point of no more strength. But I ain't telling nobody. Sweating. And all of a sudden, because we're running out of time. How many of you know we're running out of time? Right? We got to have the boat back in. Cap knows he got to stay on the time schedule. Right? And all of a sudden, when I feel like I can't go anymore, the captain of the boat says, "Philip, hold what you got." And boy, he took and put that boat in gear and started going, I don't know, 50, 75 yards forward. And then he stopped and he said, "All right, now reel him in." So I go, "There's nothing there." I said, "He got off." He said, "He didn't get off. He's wore out." Anybody ready to wear the devil out? That unjust judge? Because that widow woman wearing me out. Come on now. Devil tries to wear you out. "Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not." This wasn't one of those fish, you know, that comes jumping out of the water. I would catch them later. The mahi-mahi and the marlin. Boy, those are fun fish to catch because you can see them come out of the water. Never saw this guy.
until. We had two engines on the back of that boat, and I'm reeling, and he just coming right on. And the other guy grabs a gaff, and when I see the head, just the head of this thing, it about scared me. I ain't never seen nothing that big. Exceeding abundantly above all I could ask or think. And that guy gaffed him and pulled that 62-pound dog tooth tuna up on that boat. And that captain says, "There you go." Now, that was the biggest catch of that day. We got into the dock, and he said, "Take it up to the scale." I had that thing up over my shoulder like this, and the tail's dragging the ground. That's how big that baby was. But all of a sudden, that's the fish I caught. Hey! No, I didn't tell nobody what the captain did. Yeah, I brought it in. Well, you better tell when this thing manifested, it was the captain. Help thou my unbelief. I'm still believing that what I'm connected to, help me out here a little bit. Hold what you got, Philip. Folks, I hope you're seeing this. That whatever the enemy's tried to bring against you, he tries to throw his best attempt at getting you to quit right at harvest time. "Well, I believe that 10 years ago didn't nothing happen." There you go. There you go. Got thrown in the fire, did you? Give up, did you? Turn off the preacher when he's preaching like this. Stay there. As for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. I've been believing for that building across the street for years. For years. And all of a sudden, easy. Easy. Hold what you got, Philip. We're running out of time. I'm going to turn the power up. And it's going to be so easy to get it in the boat now. Come on, somebody. You ready for God to turn the power up to where your harvest that you've been believing for is easy to come on in now? If you do, shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo! Pastor Eric was leading us through that God of, we plead the blood, God of covenant. When we got to that place through the fire and through the blood, or flood, rather. The blood. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, let's sing it again. Come on. Let's sing it again. Without understanding what I just preached, let's sing it again. Hallelujah.